A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven,
concentrate
on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 326. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about Doctor Who animated reconstructions. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, we are focusing in particular on three Doctor Who stories, two of them missing completely from the archive, and one that was infamously never completed or broadcast. So in particular, we are talking about 2016 release of an animated reconstruction of Power of the Daleks, Sharda from 2017, and the Macra Terror from 2019. And it's gives us lots to talk about, a chance to see some classic Doctors and Companions, maybe in some ways near to what would have been originally broadcast or intended for broadcast, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. So the Macra Terror, another Second Doctor story. This one is from 1967. It's later in series 4, so the same season, but run over into the next year. And it's worth noting that Patrick Troughton's Second Doctor is affected particularly strongly by the missing episode problem. All of the missing episodes are from the 1960s, and they're from the first two Doctors. But the seasons that were distributed more to other countries have had more episodes recovered, because those copies that were sent to other countries were things that could be later found and recovered. So the first couple of seasons that Patrick Troughton did as the Second Doctor were not distributed as widely, so not as many of the episodes have been recovered. And what we have here is a four-episode serial, four 25-minute episodes with Ben and Polly and Jamie, so Michael Kreis, Etika Wills, and Fraser Hines playing the three companions. And all four episodes are missing, so all four here are animated with the original audio as recorded from the 60s.
Yes, and it's a good TARDIS team. And just to remind you of the basics of the story, they find themselves in another future Earth colony. Again, almost a signature Second Doctor Base in Peril story, but this time the peril comes partly from within, because they are menaced by a ruling sort of domineering autocrat. There's a mind-controlling gas. I guess that was a 60s theme. And, of course, there is the crab-like alien species, the Macra, who you probably remember reappeared in New Doctor Who in the story Gridlock, which is, interesting enough, included on the Steelbook Blu-ray release of the Macra Terror. So there's a little bonus for you.
Yeah, it's a monster that only appeared in this one story in the classic series, but one that is reasonably well remembered.
And this particular animated version, this time produced by the Sun and Moon Studio, again with some familiar names in the art department, the designer and artist Martin Geraghty, the storyboard artist Adrian Salmon, and a CGI animator and compositor called Rob Ritchie, who are sort of like some of the creatives involved in the animation that we've been looking at.
And we have DVD and Blu-ray and special edition Steelbook Blu-ray versions, and we have streaming versions as well, and all of those include both color and black and white animation. These 1960s episodes were all originally in black and white, but being sort of new releases now, it is not unanimous, shall we say, among the viewers, whether you want to see black and white or color. And what they've been doing is putting both in each release. So whichever of the options you take, whether it's disc or streaming, you have both of those. There is also a new Telesnap reconstruction. So these are the reconstructions where they use photos of the screen that were taken in the 60s, and also bits of footage that still exist from the original production, and they use that with the audio and build a reconstruction. And they did a new reconstruction using those elements, and that is available on the DVD and Blu-ray versions.
Although possibly not on the streaming versions, as far as we can see. Unusually, perhaps the BBC's streaming versions do contain lots of the extra features, which is great, but the Telesnap reconstructions we don't think are there.
I think that's right, yes. And like all of these releases we've been looking at, there are lots of extra features on them from the BBC, with documentaries about original production and about the new animation and so on.
Yeah, I mean, it is great stuff from the BBC, these Doctor Who releases. There's so much fascinating background information. Often, I think the extras add up to more viewing time than the series, particularly with just the four-episode story like the Macra Terror.
Yes, I think the Macra Terror gives you a particularly good package, because you have black and white and color, and with the discs you have that Telesnap reconstruction as well. So these are three quite different ways of watching the same story, and they all have things to say for them. So you really get a nice set of options, and it's quite comprehensive with that and then all of the extras.
And I should perhaps say that this time I chose to watch the color version. Of course, I didn't have that option on the Power of the Daleks DVD, but for the Macra Terror, I've watched the color version. And we were talking off air before we recorded, Brian, about maybe there was something about the UK perhaps being able to deal with black and white versions, whereas for an American audience, the BBC felt they really needed color animations, and maybe similar to the situation that the comics publisher 2000 AD finds with some of its old archive material being in black and white and struggling to find an audience in America which is more used to color comics.
Yeah, there may be something similar there. I don't think the difference between US and UK preferences is as big when it comes to film and television, because there certainly are people in the US and in Canada who love old black and white film and television. But these animated productions are not just reconstructions. They're also something new. And for the American market, and the American market being maybe not as focused on classic Doctor Who and more thinking about new Doctor Who and what have you, it was decided for Power of the Daleks, which was the first of this grouping that they did, that the primary way of watching it for the US should be color, and the primary way of watching it for the UK should be black and white. And I think by the time we got to the Macra Terror, the primary way of watching it is color, but in every DVD and streaming version, they provide both options.
Okay, I mean, it's an intriguing little sort of snippet about these animated reconstructions we've been looking at, and the various ways you can view them. As I say, I've had both the black and white and the colour experiences to compare. So, fascinating stuff. When you saw Power of the Daleks at the cinema, was that in colour?
That was in black and white. I believe the American cinema release might actually have been color. I'm not certain about that, but the Canadian one was definitely black and white. The BBC America broadcast was definitely in color.
Right. Okay. So we should say something a little bit about the animation styles of these three serials, which I guess is we're talking about the balance between the improving technology for animation, but of course for the BBC there's always the budgetary issue of whether they can afford it and whether they think the release is going to make the money back that they invest into the animation, because there is some progression through these three serials that we've noted, Brian, particularly I think in the movement of the characters. The artwork I think is quite similar, because as we've said, there are some very familiar artists who've been present throughout the three different stories under discussion here, but perhaps there's slightly notable progression in movement and animation as we go on, I think.
Yes, the quality of the animation in Power of the Daleks, particularly the animation of the human characters, is somewhat limited at times, especially in the early episodes. And I think part of this was possibly because the production was somewhat rushed. When they decided that this was being done and it got the green light and everything, they chose to release it for the 50th anniversary, and that gave them a limited amount of time to get it ready, which I think is part of the reason that in those early episodes, some of the character animation looks a little bit rough. In the later episodes, it's better, I think. Also worth noting, I think the animation of the Daleks themselves in that looks great.
Yes. Now, one of the questions I had was because how many of the actual Daleks did we see moving in the original Power of the Daleks, because I think at the time I'm right in saying in 1966 they possibly only had three working Dalek models for the production then, and there was a certain amount of sort of photo standees type background shots when they needed more Daleks. And of course on the animation we do get to see, I think, a bit more in the way of moving Daleks that do look particularly good.
Yeah, they might have had more that we could see moving on screen at once than in the original. They always would sort of do some pretty good tricks with how it was filmed to make it seem like there were more than they actually had. But yeah, that is something, and this gets into the idea of are you really just reconstructing and trying to make something as close as possible to the original missing episodes, or are you doing something new? And I think these productions really were trying to do something new when you have the color versions and also their widescreen, and they have, you know, multi-channel surround sound mixes that never would have existed at the time and so on. So there is that question that keeps coming up that we keep noting. Are they reconstructing things, or are they doing something new? And I think the progression, certainly from Power of the Daleks to the Macro Terror, they were already doing something new with Power of the Daleks, but more so with the Macro Terror.
Yes, and before we get to, you know, the enhancement of the Macro Terror, I'll perhaps just raise the fact that Sun and Moon Studios, for their animation, are using something called the Harmony Animation Engine, which I guess is some form of computer augmented animation. We don't know too much about this ourselves. If anybody's more of an expert on this and wants to get in touch on the Facebook group or by emailing us, that would be great to find out a bit more details. But I guess it opens the prospect of much improved animation for future releases, Brian. I guess these things are going to get better and better.
Yes, and part of what happens here is that as you get better technology, it means that a good animation can be done in less time for the human animator who is sitting there and building this. There are not as many hours that have to be put in, and that makes it cheaper to do a production, and that's part of why over time, you know, the possibilities have opened up for doing these productions, and it allows them to make the productions look a little better and for potentially more to be done because it becomes cheaper to do the same thing.
Interesting stuff. But also, as we say, there's this question of whether these are actually reconstructions or whether they're augmented versions of the original stories, because what animation, of course, allows, Brian, is that it lets the producers maybe overcome some of the limitations of special effects and budgets from 1966 or 1967 for these recreations. And I guess we see that in the Macra Terror.
Yes, I think the Macra, the monster itself, which is like a sort of crab monster kind of thing, it looks more dynamic and more menacing than they could have done in the 1960s. And when you look at the photo material that exists, we aren't seeing something that looks the same. We're looking at something that I think in many ways is an improvement. You know, it's different, but I think it looks very good. And we also see camera shots in the animation, if you can call them camera shots. We see shots in the animation that are different than we ever could have seen in the 60s. And that gives us something that is different from what the original director would have been able to do, and really does give us something new. And especially when you're going with the discs and you have the option to look at that telesnap reconstruction, we get to do that comparison. And we get to see these productions that are really new classic Doctor Who, which I think is great.
Yeah, it is fantastic. You know, I would encourage people to have a look at the photos of the original Macra creatures from the 1967 version, and then and see what they've done with it in the animation. Of course, you know, we've talked about this many a time, Brian. We have to remember that television in 1967 was a far more sort of perhaps blurry, smaller screens. Some of this stuff held up fine on original broadcast, but looking at it now on wider screens with HD, we can see some of the creaky stuff, and therefore, you know, the improvements they've made in the animation perhaps really helps for a modern audience.
That's true. It is a major issue that the productions that were done in the past, and this applies to a lot of things, you know, anything made for television, for sure, they were meant for the technology of the time. So they were intended for, in this case, you know, small black and white televisions where people would have maybe a 7 or 8 inch screen in the middle of their living room, being able to watch it that way. And the detail that those, both the size and the detail, was limited. And now when we take those 1960s episodes and look at them on big, modern, high-resolution televisions, we see flaws that were not a problem at the time, because you never would have been able to notice those flaws at that time. So that is an issue that comes up. And these animated versions let us do something different and let us do something new, which is quite neat.
Yes, it is. It's very interesting stuff to talk about what they've done with the Macra Terror and to think about, you know, the comparisons to what might have been on the original broadcast that we can sadly never see, or at the moment in time we can never see. Who knows what future discoveries there'll be.
Absolutely. Now, Chada, the animation for it is different, because it has to match up with the live action footage. We switch from live action to animation and back again a lot in this story. And that was sort of the job, was making something that would clearly look like animation, but would fit with the original visuals. And the switch from one to the other would not be too jarring. And I think they achieved that.
Yes, it's interesting what they've done with Chada. As you say, they have to fill in the gaps with animation. And they're quite big gaps, obviously, because two whole studio blocks missing from the filming, as you say, Brian, in our last episode. So, yeah, interesting stuff that they've done. And probably the nearest we're going to get to a definitive version of Douglas Adams' vision of Chada, I guess.
I think so, yes.
Unless, of course, this developing technology of deep fake video ever turns its attention to Doctor Who. Who knows what will become available in the future, Brian?
Well, who knows? We'll see. Now, we should also talk about some of the forthcoming releases. We know about one of them. The Faceless Ones is going to be the next BBC animated reconstruction. We don't have an exact release date for that yet, but it is in 2020.
And this is, of course, another Second Doctor story. Again from 1967 and again from series 4. two of the original six episodes survive, one of which came back into the archive from a private collection. And of course, we do note whenever we discuss Doctor Who missing episodes that occasionally we do get these intriguing stories where a private collector will realise they've got something in a tin that is actually missing from the archive. And of course, not too long ago, we had some complete stories come back to us from the second Doctor, Brian, that had been missing for years and years.
Yes, it does happen. In 2013, we got a number of episodes back. So that does happen. We sometimes get to see originals that we never thought we would see again. And sometimes we get to see something new like this.
And we know that this is going to be a colour animation of all six episodes. So they're actually going to animate the two episodes that do exist in the archive. And I guess, I presume we'll have the option to watch in black and white or colour on the releases when they come out sometime next year. And I guess we'll also get a nice range of BBC extra features. So it's something to look forward to next year, Brian.
Absolutely. If they give us a package on DVD and Blu-ray that's as comprehensive as what we have for the Macro Terror, that would be really nice. There's some good stuff there, and I would quite like to see the new reconstructions. Hopefully there'll be a new Telesnap reconstruction for it with the two existing episodes there as well. There's definitely the possibility for something very nice with this one. It is the final story with Ben and Polly as the companions when they leave the series. So it will be very nice to have a new version of that.
Fascinating stuff. But of course, we also have to think what else we'd like to see from the missing serials, Brian.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question. Before talking about what I'd like to see, I'll talk about what I think is likely or what would continue the trend of what they've been doing. All of these stories that they've been doing have been with the Second Doctor, and they've all been monster stories. With Power of the Daleks, the Macro Terror, and now the Faceless Ones, they're all monster stories from Series 4, they're all with the Second Doctor. So I would guess that they might continue with Second Doctor monster stories, which could include Evil of the Daleks is an obvious choice, also the Abominable Snowman, Fury from the Deep, and Wheel in Space are all possibilities. Of those, I think the ones that I would most want to see are Fury from the Deep or Evil of the Daleks, but there are certainly some good possibilities there.
Yes, and you know, thanks to the Facebook group, I did ask this question on our Facebook group a couple of hours ago, and shout out to Michael and Patrick, who've both chipped in and said Evil of the Daleks would be the one that they would like to see next, after presumably the Faceless Ones. So yeah, that's one that really sort of arouses some interest. But as you say, Brian, that's the Second Doctor. We have got some missing First Doctor stories.
Absolutely, and I would love to see them take on some First Doctor stories after they've done, you know, these three Patrick Troughton stories. I'd love to see them do some William Hartnell as well. And some possibilities, they could go to some of the historical stories like The Mythmakers or Marco Polo. They could also go more science fiction end of things and more monster end of things with Galaxy 4. Or the really ambitious one would be to do the Daleks Master Plan. And that's something that I don't know that they would be able to do that unless it's, you know, this factor of it continuing to become cheaper. Maybe at some point they would. The Dalek Master Plan is 12 episodes, and there is an additional episode called The Mission to the Unknown, which is like a prelude to it. So it's like 13 episodes that really would need to be animated for that to be done. And it would be very ambitious, but I think it would be one that would be wonderful to see.
As you say, it's quite an undertaking for the animators to do all those episodes, I guess. So it'll have to, hopefully, when the match between increasing technology and reducing costs allows the BBC to do it. And I guess, partly, we'll have to remind our listeners and ourselves to support the BBC and buy these releases when they come out.
Yes, absolutely. If you enjoy these and you want to see more, yeah, pick them up when they become available. And if you get them on disc, there is a lot of stuff on there to enjoy.
And I just, you know, perhaps do a little shout out myself for Marco Polo, with the reputation for the BBC's, you know, the BBC's costume department, the grandeur and the spectacle of the costumes. You know, I perhaps love to see a colour reconstruction of that at some point. You know, who knows, that might come as well.
Yeah, the original director for Marco Polo is Boris Hussein, and he is still alive. I believe he's still working and still directing. So it would be lovely to have him involved with that in some capacity.
Oh, that would be fantastic if he could be involved with the animated project. Yeah, great stuff.
So we've already covered a fair bit of our opinions as we've gone along, but I think it's time to delve into that a little bit more. Eamon, what did you particularly like about these animated productions?
Well, I would say at the start that these are three different fascinating Doctor Who serials for completely different reasons. We've got that pivotal story of the first regeneration, although as you pointed out, it wasn't even called that at that stage, when the show could have, you know, could have drowned in a way. It could have not succeeded. Then we've got the infamous story of Sharda, never finished, never broadcast. And then we've got this well-remembered monster that only appeared once in a second Doctor story with the Macra. So, you know, I think these are great releases for different reasons. What did I like? Almost everything about these three releases I liked. If I was to pick out one thing, it would be the ability to sit down and watch the first episode of The Power of the Daleks, to see the opening titles with the music, which of course is just, you know, still a great thrill, and then to see Patrick Troughton first take on the role of the Doctor, Ben and Polly's disbelief, you know, the first time we got to see a companion not understanding what had just happened. That is fantastic, and I can understand why the BBC released that first 6 minutes on the anniversary, you know, of 50 years after the original broadcast. So that stuff is great. I really enjoyed that. What about yourself? What were the highlights from these three shows?
I'm going to agree that there is a tremendous amount to like in all of this. I think the fact that they are doing something new with them, and they're not just trying to stay as close as they possibly can, which was more what they were doing in 2013, 2014 with the extra episodes they were putting on DVD. But the fact that they've done things like the Macra Terror, where they've made something really quite new and took what was, I think, a good middle-of-the-road Doctor Who monster story from its era, and turned it into something that is scarier and spookier than it was at the time, and sort of heightened it and changed it into something that is sort of timeless. It's definitely Second Doctor era, because you have Crown and you have the companions and so on, but it has a look and a feel to it that is, I would say, like nothing else in Doctor Who. Certainly between this group of them, there is a look and feel that's like nothing else. And I think it looks really good. And I think it's bringing something that is new and different and really quite special.
Yes, I mean, I particularly enjoyed the Macra Terror story. And I guess in a way you've answered the question, but, you know, it does, I suppose, ask fans whether they want strict reconstructions or reproductions of what the original would be like, or whether they want the enhancements that animation can provide, which allows, I guess, us with our modern technology and, you know, our familiarity with modern shows to look at these these Doctor Who classics from the 60s and not find them too, you know, too weak and too wobbly in terms of the backgrounds and special effects. So I guess, as you're saying, Brian, that you actually quite like the enhancements that they've done.
I absolutely do. And I've had this conversation with people online about whether it should be about staying close to the original or it should be about doing something new with that story and with that audio and those existing audio performances. And my view on it is the best way to do something that stays close to the original for missing episodes is with telesnap reconstructions and different kinds of photo-based reconstructions that use photographs of the final production on screen or use on-set photographs, but use those actual photographs and give you the sort of slideshow where you have the audio and you have the references for what it actually looked like on screen or on set. I think that's the way to get your faithful reconstructions of those original serials. Once you're doing animation, it's always going to be something new. It's not going to be staying strictly to that. It's going to be different. And I think making it something that is really different, embracing that, is a wonderful choice. And it gives us something that is both new and old. It gives us lots of elements of that 60s time period and those original productions, but does things that are in a more modern style with it and does things that they just couldn't do at the time. So in a way, it's in line with what Big Finish Productions does with their audio dramas, and those are usually completely new stories. But they will do things in audio productions with, for example, the Fourth Doctor from the 70s or the 1980s Doctors. They will do things with original cast members and make them really like Fourth and Fifth and Sixth and Seventh Doctor stories, but also make them new and different and do things that they just couldn't do at the time. Or are influenced by modern styles in some ways. And these animations bring, in a different way, a little bit of that to the missing Doctor Who episodes as well.
Fascinating stuff. Let's turn to Sharda and that release from 2017, Brian, because here we have the sort of interaction or the intercutting of live action from the 70s and animated reconstructions with new sort of audio recordings from the surviving cast. Slightly different to the other two releases. What did you make of that particular release that we've had?
Okay, now this is a complicated one. And I do have slightly more mixed feelings about this one than I do about the others. But some fans have said, well, Shada has been done so many times, we don't need another. Why are they bothering with a new one? And so on. I don't agree with that. I am very pleased that they did this reconstruction. It is really the first time that we've been able to watch the original footage of Shada as part of a fully dramatized production where you can see the whole thing and have, you know, the original cast doing the full script. I think it's really lovely to have that. I like the story of Shada. I've always liked it, and I watched many of those earlier productions that, frankly, the ones that included the original footage were not that great, because without a dramatized version of the ending, it was really hard to make the ending of that story compelling. Now that we have animation and we have Tom Baker and most of the rest of the cast there, it gives us a drama of Shada that is complete and gives us the original footage incorporated as well. And that's what I've been waiting for Shada for many years now. So I am really pleased to see it there, and I like this version a lot.
Okay. I mean, like yourself, I do have mixed feelings about this one as well, possibly for slightly different reasons. I actually found the backstory and the extra features slightly more interesting than the story of Sharda. So, you know, I've slightly gone off the story of Sharda over the years. I'm not sure that it's peak Douglas Adams, but the background and the fascinating sort of history of why it never was completed, why it was never broadcast, the various attempts over the years to bring it back. I even loved the bit on the DVD where they go and visit some of the original Cambridge locations. Of course, I live very near Cambridge. I'm there quite often. And you and I actually visited the backs of Cambridge a few years ago when you were over here once, Brian.
That's right.
We did sort of walk along next to the cam where the Doctor and Romana go punting. So I thought that was fascinating. But there is one question I've got to ask you, and I'm going to try and do it with avoiding a spoiler. But they do something with the conclusion of the story for this 2017 release with Tom Baker, which is fascinating for a whole number of reasons. What did you make of that, Brian?
This is that one scene that was done differently. That was not my favorite element of this. And the reason that I say I have mixed feelings about this one is that they made certain decisions to not stay as close to the original that I found a little bit disappointing. And I know I've said that I like the fact that these are doing new things, and I very much do, but they made a couple of decisions that I think were not in their favor for the quality of the production. One was not to do any voice recasting. So there are two actors who were in the original Sharda production who have since passed away. One was Dennis Carey, who played Professor Chronotis, and the other was David Brierley, who did the voice of K-9 for Series 17. John Leeson did it for all of the other times that K-9 appeared, which was most of his run, but that one season, it was David Brierley doing it. They chose not to recast for those voices, so where there were missing bits where those characters would have been part of the dialogue, they had other characters fill in for them or used little clips from other places and sort of went off script a little bit in sort of one climactic scene. And I think that scene became a little bit weaker because of that. And I wouldn't have minded having impersonators filling in that bit of dialogue for just that little bit of the story to have the script there. That's something that I personally would have preferred them taking the other route. And the other thing is that they made it into sort of one long movie version rather than being divided into the 6 episodes. And I think I would have preferred having a 6-episode option.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So those two things, just for my personal taste, I would have preferred them taking the other decisions. The somewhat odd scene near the end that you're referring to, I probably would have been happier without that, but I can't really complain about it. So, yeah, those few things I would have preferred they had done differently. And this one case, I think, this one story, staying a little bit closer to original script would have been nice. But that said, I really like this production. I do like Sharda, and I was really pleased with it.
Okay. I mean, there's something for everyone. We're being very cryptic about the ending, but if you've seen the 2017 animated reconstruction of Sharda, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. I'm sure it'll come instantly to mind.
Yes, absolutely. But they did some very good work there. In terms of what they accomplished with animation in these productions, I do think they're improving, and I think the most impressive work is in the Macroterror. I think they really did a strong job with that.
Absolutely. So would it be, in terms of the animation, the reconstruction, the best of the three releases for you?
Oh, that is so hard to say.
Pick your favorites. It's tricky.
Yeah, it's very difficult because Power of the Daleks is a better story, I think. And it has this very interesting position in the history of Doctor Who, a very important position in the history of Doctor Who. So for that reason, it's very strong. The animation and the sort of new things they were doing with it is not as good as the Macra Terror. It just isn't as well developed at that point. And as we've mentioned, I think the character animation is a little bit rough in the early episodes and gets better in the course of it. But I do really enjoy the animated Power of the Daleks as well. I think they have done a really nice job with all of these. Shada is a completely different beast from the others. And I think what they did with that was, with those few caveats of things that I would have preferred to be done differently, I really think what they did with that is what should be done with Shada. I think that's exactly what we needed to get that extra little bit of 1970s Doctor Who that was not really in a form that could be enjoyed how it should be.
Okay, fascinating. I mean, if we was to say then that our listeners probably should be buying all of these releases, but they were going to buy them one at a time, would you say the first one would be the one that was first released, as it were, Power of the Daleks? Would you go for that one first?
If you're decided on getting all three, then, or if you're planning on getting all three, then yes, I think I would do them in order, or at least I would do that one first. Whether you do Shada or the Macra Terror first, that's more of a personal choice. And those, as I say, Shada is a completely different thing. If you're only getting one and really don't plan on getting the others at all, I would probably go with the Macra Terror, because it really does something nice with it, and it's such a nice complete package, especially on disc.
Okay. I mean, I guess we have to, or I'm sure we're going to congratulate the BBC on what they're doing with the animated reconstructions and the fantastic packages they're putting out. I will say that here in Region 2, it was slightly unfortunate that we didn't get the colour version of Power of the Daleks on the DVD release. But as you've said, Brian, that might have been a deadline issue, I think, as they'd set themselves a target of that 5th of November 2016 release in order to hit the 50th anniversary of the original broadcast.
Yes, I think that was part of it. I know for that one, they had a different company doing the colorizing on the animation. They had the completed animation being sent off, I believe it was to a company in Canada, and I don't remember exactly who was doing it, but it was a separate company that was colorizing that black and white version, where I think by the time we got to the Macra Terror, it was much more an integral part of the process was doing both color and black and white.
Okay, that makes sense, and that may be why there was a delay. Okay. Anything else you want to say about these three shows or these three serials from Doctor Who before we get to recommendations time?
I think we should go to our recommendations.
Okay. Kick us off, Brian. How would you like to start? I think we know where we're going with this one for our listeners, but let's hear it.
Yeah, these are absolutely strong recommendations from me. I think they did a lovely job with all of them, and they give us something new and different. And this is something, especially when we get into the Macra Terror and what we're expecting from the Faceless Ones next year, we're getting into something that is really like a different medium. It's this combination of new style animation in both color and black and white with, you know, 1960s television audio. And it's something that is really quite different that you see very little of. We don't see this kind of thing in other franchises or other productions that I'm aware of. So this is really something that I consider quite special, and these are really very good. I would recommend all of them, And I really hope that we continue to get more of them after the Faceless Ones next year.
Yes, I mean, it's going to be double thumbs up here on British Invaders, because I, you know, have to join you, Brian, in recommending these releases, applauding the BBC on what they're doing, the enhancements they're putting in there, particularly in the Macro Terror release. But the complete packages, you know, the extra features, it's all wonderful. If I had to pick one to start with, it would be The Power of the Daleks, just because it's such a pivotal moment in British television, really. You know, who knows if we'd been would be doing this podcast if that 5th of November 1966 had been a failure. But there you go. So you may want to, for that one, look at the streaming options. If you're not too fussed about the Telesnap reconstructions, then over here, the streaming version of Power of the Daleks might give you both the black and white and the colour versions. But apart from that, the DVD releases for Sharda and the Macro Terror are great as well. So yeah, absolutely recommendations. Do buy this stuff, because I think it will help the BBC do more of it in the future. And who knows where the animation will take us. Great stuff, Brian.
Absolutely. So, in summary, Doctor Who was produced starting in 1963... and through the way that television history works and the way things worked at the time, many of the episodes that were produced were wiped from video and no longer exist in full visual form. But they do exist as audio recordings and have been made available in various forms, including with these new productions, The Power of the Daleks and The Macro Terror. We now have new versions of these stories that are animated with both color and more original style black and white versions that do something new with those original stories. And then Shada in 2017, they gave us a completed version of this 1979 story that was not completed at the time due to a strike and had never been broadcast. And they were able to give us that original footage with newly dramatized audio and new animation to give us a complete package where we can finally watch Shada in a nice, compelling, dramatized version with the original footage and with something new.
Absolutely wonderful stuff from the history of British television science fiction, Brian, and beautifully summarized. And of course, do pop by the Facebook group and tell us your own favorites or the ones that you're most looking forward to in the future.
Absolutely.
And join us next time. Stay tuned to the British Invaders channel, because it's our Halloween shows and we're back with some 1970s folk horror, which has been a bit of a theme for us of late. And in particular, we're looking at a very famous or infamous play for today called Pender's Fen. So as ever, plenty to talk about next time, Brian.
Absolutely. So until then, you can find all of our episodes, which fortunately are not missing, at BritishInvaders.com. We have a number of Doctor Who discussions from over the years. You can find all of them there and amongst well over 300 episodes now. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our Facebook group there. We always have lots of discussions, and I'm sure we'll be talking about animated Doctor Who.
Yes, indeed we are. And of course, if you want to find out what our next three shows are, that's the place to go as well, to find out what we're coming up in the future. And you can also find us on the Voice of Geeks Network. That's at vognetwork.com. British Invaders is a proud member there.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for listening. And until next time, it's a very animated Eamon in England signing off.